King. Amen. What a joy it is to be here. Thank you so much, Dr. Broyhill, for the invitation. And for all of you students, I would thank you for being here, but you didn't have a choice, right? But I thank you for being here, all of you adults that are here from the church and for this church here at Calvary. What a blessing and a beacon of light you've been in this community, in this country, all over the world for so many years. And what makes God so special is that He's the God of the whole universe. But when we know Him, He's mine. And I'm going to tell you something, young people. If you're living for God and knowing God through your parents and through your pastor and through your teachers and through other people, there will come a time in your life where you will not make it unless He's yours. And I'm so thankful that He's known by mercy, He's known by grace, and I'm privileged to be here today. I want to thank the Lord for your prayers for me. I believe that I'm alive because of prayer. How many believe in prayer? Amen. I certainly do. And God has been gracious to me, and I have never witnessed God be more gracious, more kind, more merciful, and more real than He has the last couple of years. So I thank the Lord for that. It's been an interesting time for the whole world, so I certainly don't expect any more pity than the rest of us. We've all been going through this, but I'm thankful that through it all, God has still been God. And I appreciate the humble opportunity to be here. It's good to see the folks here. It's good to hear the pastor. I asked him a few moments ago. He said his health is better than it's been in a long time. And that, again, is an answer to prayer. We certainly appreciate you. You've been on our prayer list at Crossroads Baptist Church. And for all of us that are here today, you students and adults, we need something from God. We're living in perilous times. This world is wicked. This world is crazy. We don't hate the world. We don't condemn people. But we're living in perilous times. We are watching things happen before our eyes that we never thought we would witness. When I was a teenager growing up, the things that we faced were nothing compared to what you're facing. And much of it is brought into our lives through these things. I tell our people all the time, the problem is not that we have smartphones. It's that they're in the hands of dumb people. All right, that's the problem. And these phones will do what our dumb minds could never do on their own. And there's so much going on in the world. In this generation, you're watching everything that's absolutely be questioned. And now gender is being questioned, and marriage is being questioned, and the existence of God is being questioned, and the Bible is being questioned. Listen, in the midst of all of that, I want you to know something. God is doing just fine. God is doing just fine. He's in control. He's not lost anything. He still knows what He's doing. But there's a battle over your lives and your souls and your influence and your testimony and your future. And the devil's not going to come for you. He's already coming for you. And the world is coming for you. And so moments like this, Pastor, I want to tell you that I do not take them for granted. I don't belittle them. I don't consider this as a time where we just make something pass. I happen to be in town and we'll just fill a time slot. I consider this serious, of great gravity. And I pray that these moments that we have together, although brief, will be monumental and impactful in our lives. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, if you would. Genesis chapter number 24, and stand to your feet, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter number 24. How many are thankful for the Bible? Would you say amen? God's holy word. In these last days, we don't need somebody's opinion. We need a word from the Lord. We need somebody to tell us what God said, a God that never changes, a God that never fails, a God who's consistent, reliable, trustworthy, we can lean on and depend upon. And I'm thankful that God is that God. Genesis chapter number 24, familiar story in the Word of God, perhaps to most of us, if not all of us, maybe some of you have never heard this story. But no matter if you have, it's good because it's in God's Word, and I pray that it helps us today. Genesis chapter number 24. Look at verse number 26, would you? And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Well, there's something good about worshiping the Lord. There are services that go on in churches. They call them praise services and worship services, and sometimes there's never any worship going on. I still believe there's something good that happens when a child of God worships the Lord. Strong says it's like a dog licking the palm of his master's hand. That's what worship is. We have a dog at home, my son Kobe. He's 16, almost 17. He wanted to get an American Bully. So it's like a breed of a pit bull. And this dog's about 80 pounds. He's about 11 months. He's strong. He is a bully. He's stubborn. And right now he's getting trained at a trainer's home, and he's staying with the trainer, and he's coming back Saturday, and I'm going to get back Saturday.
And I can't imagine what he's going to do when he sees us after a couple of weeks. He's going to jump up and he's going to hop on us, and he's hard to handle, and he's going to lick our palm. He's saying, look, who's in charge just walked in the house, and I'm glad to see. Listen to me. When God shows up, it ought to be a joy.
Yeah.
And an excitement that starts in the sole of our feet and travels up to the crown of our head, that who's in charge shows up. We ought to run to God like a dog runs. That's what worship is. Listen, this man bows and worships the Lord. And he said, verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Our Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word, for it is already blessed. Forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven and in earth. Now, Lord, I pray you take me as your vessel. You cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. These young people don't need to hear some sermon from a briefcase. They don't need to hear some opinion. They don't need to hear some sugar stick. They don't need to hear something that I'll give them that will appear impressive. God, they need to hear from you. Speak through me. Speak to me. And Lord, may I say what I should say. Keep me from saying what I should not say. May you be glorified. Up the road several hours, would you watch over my wife and my family? I love you, Lord. And help me to love you more. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Chapter number 23. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, dies. This is a big deal. She was special to him, precious to him. For you young people who are not married yet, you can't fully understand just how valuable a spouse is, how valuable a wife is to her husband. And yet, Sarah dies. In chapter number 24, Abraham is well stricken in age. That means his wife is dead and he's getting ready to die. He's close to dying, and he knows that his time on planet Earth, the time that God gives him in the body that God has afforded him to have, is coming to an end, and it's coming to an end soon. So here's an old man. His wife is dead. He's a father. He's close to dying himself. And as he got closer to death as a man, as a father, something weighed heavily on him. Many things in my mind weighed heavily on Abraham, but nothing perhaps was a bigger burden on Abraham's heart than this: finding his son Isaac a wife. Isaac was a miracle child. Isaac was the child that God gave Abraham and Sarah in their old age. At the point of time, Sarah will be pregnant and give birth to a child. Is there anything too hard for God? Sarah laughed and thought, this is not going to happen. But listen, God kept his word. Listen to me. God keeps his word. If he said it, you can believe it. He's not a liar. He's not going to make up something. If he said it, he's going to do what he said. If I've learned something the last couple of years, I've learned this. God keeps his word. And God kept his word. Here comes Isaac. Isaac is the miracle child. And through Isaac, the promises of God will be fulfilled. Remember what God said to Abraham? I'll multiply your seed like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I will make of thee a great nation. Here's what I like what he said to Abraham. I will bless you that you will be a blessing. I walk around in Northern Virginia and I meet a lot of people. You ask them how they're doing and they say, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I want to ask them, how often are you a blessing? See, if God blesses you, he blesses you to be a blessing. You got a God home, if you got a godly heritage, you got a Bible, you got the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you, you got a good Christian school, you got a church, you got a country where you're free, you got gifts and talents and abilities and resources afforded you, you got a brain, you got instruments you can play and subjects you can learn and tests you can ace. God has blessed you. He blessed you to take pictures. He didn't bless you to get social media hits. He blessed you to be a blessing.
Amen.
And Abraham was a blessing. And now God is going to bless him through Isaac. In order to do that, Isaac needs a wife. Not just a wife, the right wife.
Yeah.
Not just a woman. A wife. Dr. Bobby Robertson said to me years ago, he said, Kenny, you'd rather go through life wanting something you never had rather than having something you never wanted. And Isaac needed a wife. This is the burden on daddy's heart. Before I leave, I've got to secure this boy of mine, this miracle child, this promised child, this one through whom all the blessings of God are going to flow. I've got to secure Isaac a wife. So what's he going to do? He's going to grab his eldest servant, his most experienced one, the one he trusts, and he's going to slate him with the job, the monumental job of going and finding, locating Isaac, not a wife, not a woman, but the wife that God has for him. Now I want you to picture this servant. Hey, buddy, you got to leave here, you got to go somewhere, and you got to locate the right woman for my son. You got to bring her back to him, and she better be the right wife. You talk about pressure. Listen to me, it was hard enough to pick my own wife. Try picking somebody else's. And I want you to think about this fella. Listen, no pressure at all, buddy. The whole Old Testament, the future of the nation of Israel, the bloodline of Jesus, and the entire canon of Scripture is resting on your choice. But no pressure at all. I mean, how do you pick a wife for somebody else? How do you pick a wife for your master's son? And how, when you're picking her, can you know she's the right one? What if she's beautiful but she has no character? What if she's full of character, but you can't tell by looking at her? I mean, how do you know? Are you looking for a tall one or a short one? I mean, is there going to be some signal in the sky? Some big Jesus that speaks and says, she's the right one. Will she have a badge on? Will her hair look a certain way? Will she have a certain walk about her? Will there be a star that's shining above her head to say, ding, 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 ding? I mean, where is eHarmony.com when you need it? When you got to find a what? I will tell you, I don't know of anybody in the Bible that was operating and obligated under more pressure than the servant in Genesis chapter 24. He needed leadership. He needed help. He needed guidance. He needed direction. He needed assurance. He needed a GPS system. Somebody say amen. That would lead him to the exact spot, to the exact woman that would be the exact choice that God had for his master Abraham's son Isaac. He needed help. Needed it desperately. I tell you what I love about the Bible is not only did this fella need it, he got it. Amen. He got help. He got assurance. He got leadership. He got guidance. He got a GPS system. He got the assurance that this woman that he was looking at was the exact choice that God had for him and that God had for Isaac. What he needed, he found. Look at Genesis chapter 24. The Bible says something amazing in 24 verse number 7. He said, the servant said, the Lord led me. Everybody say it together with me. The Lord led me. Say it again. The Lord led me. Not Muhammad led me. Not Buddha led me, not the Pope led me, not the priest led me, not a cow that used to be my grandma led me. Come on now, not my mama, not my daddy, not my friend, not my preacher, not a prophet. The Lord led me. Not any Lord, not some false God, not Baal, not Beelzebub, not Belial, not Ashtaroth. I'm talking about the God in heaven who put the sun in place and the moon in space and the stars in the sky and the man that took from the dust of the ground, the God that took from the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, the omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, present everywhere at the same time, the immutable, unchangeable, the eternal was, is, and is to come, the holy, righteous, pure, just, gracious. I'm talking about the one that's known by mercy, that's known by love, the creator of the universe, the heart knower of all, the burden bearer, the heart regulator, the one in whom we live, we breathe, and we have our being. Listen to what this servant said. That very God that spoke and there was light, that God that made the animals and the clouds and the seas with the fish in them and the daffodils and the mountains, that God that parted the Red Sea, that God that does more than anyone else can do, that very God led me. Wow. He got in front and showed me where to go. He took the pressure off of me. He pulled off a task I never could have pulled off on my own. He did what I never could have accomplished. He located who I never could have found. He accomplished a job I never could have been successful on. He took me on a path where I had no idea where I was going. He got in front of a clueless, pressured man and led me. Wow. Why? Why did the Lord lead this fellow? Listen to him in Genesis 24. I, being in the way,
the Lord led me.
What do you mean, fella? I mean, I left the house under pressure. I left the house obligated. I left the house committed to getting the job done. I left the house with failure not being an option. I've got a master that's waiting for me to come back with what I left to retrieve. I've got a son of his that's waiting for me to bring back exactly what he needs. I've got the pressure of the world on my shoulders, and I cannot fail. But a holy God who never makes a mistake, in Him dwells all the wisdom of the world, got in front of me and led me for this one reason. I was in the way, in the spot, in the place, in the position, in the zone, in the bullseye where God could lead. This servant found out there is a spot, there is a place, there is a position, there is a bullseye, there is a location where the man, woman, boy, or girl can be. And if I get there where I'm supposed to be, the God of the universe will lead me. I want to tell you why. On a Thursday morning, God has this on my heart for young people. And I appreciate you adults that are being here. And all of us need the truth in the Word of God. But I think about these young people today. We get up here and preach. I've been preaching to young people for over 20 years. And I've been preaching, stay pure, listen to the right music, wear the right clothes, obey your parents, do right, follow God, have the right kind of thought life. I've been preaching all these things. And sometimes you hear those messages and you think, yep, I hear you, I hear you, I hear exactly what you say. Yep, and you go to the altar and say, yep, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. No bad music, no bad clothes, no bad friends, no bad thoughts. I need to stay pure, need to stay right until God has the right person for me. I hear you, I hear you, I hear you. But when you hear that, you think, that's a lot of pressure. I'm preaching to young people right now that are living under pressure to live this Bible, to obey your parents, in a world that can't figure out what bathroom you're supposed to go to, in a world that can't figure out what you're supposed to do with your mind, in a world that can't figure out who's the authority in your life and what to do with this book. And you sit here and you say, I hear the preaching, I hear my parents, I hear my youth director, I hear my Sunday school teachers, I hear everything I'm supposed to learn, but it seems like I'm under so much pressure. How in the world can I pull off living the Bible even when I know it's right? You need direction. You need guidance. You need help. You need a GPS system. You need leadership. I'll tell you what Genesis 24 tells you. Not only do you need it, you can have it in Jesus' name. There is a God who will get in front of every single young person. By the way, as a pastor, I'm living under pressure to stand up before my people and to give the Word of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And they're holding on the Word for their spiritual livelihood, to lead my wife and my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to counsel people, to be the friend that God wants me to be, to stand in these last days and to honor God. That's pressure. It scares me to death. I've never lived under more pressure than I'm living right now. But I'll tell you what gives me pleasure in that pressure. There is a God in heaven who makes no mistakes, and He can, and He will, and He has, and He does. And He has the competency, the credibility, and the capacity to lead me. That helps me today. But I tell you something, He ain't going to leave me because I get lucky. He ain't going to leave me because He pulls my name out of a hat. He's not going to leave me because my daddy was a preacher. He's not going to leave me because of my last name. He's not going to leave me because of the Christian school I'm affiliated with. He's going to lead me if and when I'm in the way. So I want to talk to you this morning. You want leadership? Hey, fella. You want to stand up one day, walk up this aisle and say, I do, to the right person? You can write it down on a napkin at Cracker Barrel all you want to, but you better have more going for you than a napkin and a pen at Cracker Barrel. You better have a God that lives in front of you that would lead you, because I wouldn't want to pick a wife in 2022 without God. You young ladies, you can pick your dresses, you can pick your bridesmaids, you can pick your colors, you can pick your flowers, you can pick your venue. That's not going to give you a wonderful marriage. You better pick the spot where God can lead you. All right, being in the way. Very quickly this morning, and I won't be long. How can I know I'm in the way? Genesis 24. Number one, it requires submission. There's submission in the way. So here's a master saying, look here, servant. I'm going to send you somewhere. You're not going to do your thing. You're going to do my thing. I got a job for you, and you're not going to do it your way. You're going to do it my way. Abraham was old, and the Bible says, verse number 2, he said to his eldest servant. Here's what you got to understand, young people. If I'm in the way, I got to realize I'm the servant, and I have a master. What know you not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which of God. You have a master. Notice several times in Genesis 24, verse number 2, and Abraham said, look at verse number 6, and Abraham said, are you listening to me now? If I'm going to have submission in the way, I've got to submit to the master's words. Abraham said, look, you're going to do the job. You've got to do what I say with my words. By the way, I hear young people say all the time, I know what the Bible says, but I know what God's word says, but I know the Bible says I shouldn't do it, but I know the Bible is against it, but no. You can't say I know the Bible is against it, but if the Bible is against it, then you can't do it. If the Bible is for it, then you've got to do it. You've got to submit to the master's words. Wherewithal shall your young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven and in earth. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall endure forever. Sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is truth. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Preach the word, Timothy. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When you sit in chapel this morning and you hold your Bible in your lap, remember, you're not holding a PlayStation. You're not holding an iPad. You're not holding a science book. You're not holding a magazine. You're not holding the Constitution of the United States. You're holding the precious word of God. God took 40 different men over a 1600 period time and produced a manuscript that's inspired, infallible, and inerrant from cover to cover. It's still the bestseller, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It's a perfect word, a preserved word, a prophetic word, a preeminent word, a probing word, a piercing word, a perfecting word, a profitable word, a precious word, and it's God's word. Don't tell me you're in the way and you want God to lead you and you're not submissive to the word. The master's words, the master's wishes, the master's will. I don't have time. Abraham says, no. You're going to find my son Isaac a wife, not from here, back from my homeland. No. You're not going to take Isaac to her. You're going to bring her back to Isaac. In other words, you don't call the shots, servant. The master does. You can want God to lead you every single day, but if you can't submit to his word, his wishes, and his will, forget his leadership. Number one, there's submission. Number two, there's supplication. There's supplication. Look at Genesis chapter number 24. And again, Abraham said. So the servant says, okay, yes, I will. Put his right hand under the thigh. That was symbolizing that I submit to my master. So now that you've said yes, picture now, here's the servant. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Abraham. I'll do exactly what you said. I'll go back to your homeland. I'll find her and I'll bring her back to you. Yes, sir. Aye, captain. He must have thought right after he left the house, what in the world did I just agree to? How am I going to do this? Why did I not? Have you ever nodded your head to something and somebody said, would you do this for me? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you left and thought, what did I can't do what I just said. I'm going, this servant must look, how in the world am I going to do what I just said I do? Verse number 12. And he said, O Lord God, when you're so under pressure and you don't know how you're going to pull off the will of God, here's what you're going to have to do with your submission. You're going to have to add some supplication. When I can't figure it out, I better talk to a God who's already got it figured out. I tell you what's become too foreign among young people. Prayer. Prayer. I was lying in that hospital and the doctor standing way back from me, and he's coming in there for about 30 seconds, and the nurses got these spacesuits on and these masks, and I'm talking about I was watching them in a prep room, gown up every single time and throw it away, and then gown up every single time and stand back. It wasn't until I got home that I saw the doctor on a telehealth appointment. I said, "Oh, that's what you look like." You know, I'd seen him a bunch of times, but never saw. And I thought, "Good night." It was like you have the plague. And I'm sitting in that hospital room, and the best I can do is put this phone up that I couldn't hold because I was so weak. And I'm looking at this my wife's picture on this phone. Somebody said, "Bless God, I don't believe in cell phones." If I didn't have a cell phone, I think I'd have given up. I put that phone up front and I looked at her pretty face. I said, "Honey, you're so beautiful." And she said, "Honey, you're so handsome." I said, "Honey, you're a liar." You know, and I just remember looking and I remember thinking, "Good gracious, so lonely." I can't help but think that so many died of COVID of loneliness to lie in a hospital. I mean, if we could have gowned some family members up and taking them into the room. And I mean, so discouraged. I remember my favorite time of the day was the woman that cleaning the room for about 7 or 8 minutes. And it wasn't that she was coming in the room. It was that she left the door open. And I could actually look out the door for a few minutes and see something besides that same. I'm talking about discouraging when you're in that room with nobody to talk to. But I'm telling you what, I had somebody to talk to. I had a God. And I said, "God, give me a chance. Give me an opportunity. Touch my body, God. Watch over my family. God, protect my church." And let me tell you something, young people. You're trying to stay pure. You're trying to do right in this world when 3 out of 4 seniors graduate without their virginity. 20% of 15-year-olds have been involved in immorality by the time they turn 15. You need more than a therapist, a psychiatrist, a psychologist. You need more than a stress ball, the champion inside of you, or somebody to teach you how to believe in yourself. You need a God in heaven that you can call at 2 in the morning when you're phone is turned off and your parents are asleep and nobody wants to hear you. But God says, "Heaven is open for business. Here's this fella. I need help, God." And you're the only one that's listening right now. You better learn. If there's anything God's burdened me about the last couple of years, it's praying. I believe that God has blessed me immeasurably the last couple years through all I've gone through because of praying. And Lord, turn the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. Young people, you want to be pure. You want to do right. You want to obey your parents. You want to stand for God in a dark world. You better learn how to pray. "God help me," he says. "I don't want to fail my master, and I'm going to find some women, and I'm not going to know which ones are right." So he said, "God, I hope that the woman I ask for water, she offers to me and the camels. And God, let that be a sign that she's the right woman." He's praying. Oh, he's praying. "God, please, please, please help me." Now watch this now. He goes and finds a woman there, and he says to that woman, could you give me some water?" And the woman responds to him, "I have water for you and the camels." It's all in the text. I'm running out of time. Now watch this now. Exactly what he prayed, God answered. Now, I meet a lot of young people all the time. They tell me what shoes they bought. They tell me what they saw on ESPN. They tell me about their new phone. They tell me about what's going on Instagram. They tell me about what they tweet. They tell me about the new dance. They tell me about the new TikTok. They tell me what's going on. They tell me about words that I'm saying that nobody says anymore. But it's hard to find a teenager that says, "Let me tell you what prayer God just answered."
Yeah. Good.
See, when you're in the way, I'm in the way. I'm serving God. No, not if you're not submissive. You're not in the way if you're not involved in supplication. But number three, you're not in the way if you're not experiencing any success. I mean, his prayers were supplied. His protection was secure. His provisions were sustained. Well, I'm just 14, 15, 16. I'm just 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm just 17, 18. I mean, I'm really not at the stage where God is answering a lot of prayer. Let me tell you something. If you know the Lord, I don't care what age you are, he'll answer your prayer.
That's right.
I want to find a young person that's winning. Winning. I ask God to protect me. He's protecting me. I ask God to provide for me. He's providing for me. I ask God to secure for me, and he's secure for me. I ask God to give me what I need, and he's giving me what. Give me somebody who said, "I opened my Bible and said, show me wondrous things out of thy law." And I want to tell you, I asked him to show me. He showed me, and I'm glad he did. There's success in the way. Look at verse number 27. They're shouting in the way. "Blessed be the Lord God of my man." I'd have loved seeing this fellow shout. I know we got some young people in here. Well, you know, I'm just kind of young and cool. And I look at these people in the church. Sometimes they raise their hand. And and they saying amen, and I'm kind of young, and I don't really believe in shouting. Get you in front of a ball game. You believe in shouting.
Yes, sir.
Get one of you girls to get a shopping spree. You know how to shout. It's not that we don't believe in shouting. We just don't believe in shouting when it comes to things of God. When I say they're shouting anywhere, I'm not just literally talking about the act of shouting. I'm just talking about praising the Lord. I'd have loved to have been there to see that fellow, verse number 27, in the middle of who knows where, lifting up his voice, blessed be the God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I don't know if he was waving his hand. I don't know if he was kicking his feet. I don't know if he was stomping. I don't know if he was clapping. But I know that when he found that girl, and that girl did exactly what he prayed for God to do, he had to pause before he even finished everything and said, blessed be the Lord. And we need to get some young people in 2022 that aren't going to be on social media saying the wrong kind of words and showing a new dance and bragging about their new stuff, but somebody, wherever they go, around whomever they're with, that'll say, I'm just blessing the Lord because I needed God to help me, and he did, and he deserves the praise for it. Shouting in the way. Now he's got a girl that he's given earrings and bracelets to. And says, you're the one for my master's son, Isaac. She must have thought, wasn't it in the world? But this girl got a family. She's got to go back and convince her family that what this guy is saying is actually true. As a matter of fact, she's going to take him with her. And he's got to convince her mother and brother, her family, that your sister, your daughter, is supposed to be my master's son's wife. And she's going with me. You want to talk about a challenge. I mean, the girl could say, oh, absolutely. I've always wanted to be married. And her mother could say, you better sit down somewhere. And her brother could say, I'll knock you out. You try to take my sister. Yeah. I tell you what. This fella goes in and you read Genesis 24. He is so convincing about a story that the brother and the mother have never heard. But his spirit is so poised and so persuaded, he not only convinces the girl, the brother and the mother are bought into. You ought to be so convinced of God's will that people that don't even know God like you know him will believe in him because of your testimony. Watch this now. There's steadfastness in the way. I like this. Go down to verse number 55. Her brother and mother said, let her stay with us a few days. In other words, okay, we'll let her go, but not yet. Let her just hang around in the house maybe 10 days, 55. Look at verse 56. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord have prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. No, here's the story now. This fella is ready to take this girl back to Isaac, back to Abraham. And the mother and the brother say, well, let her stay for at least 10 days and we could do something. Well, I mean, we just found this out. I mean, do you really have to leave so fast? Now, I'm paraphrasing now, but I want you to picture this fella when the mother and the brother say, let her stay 10 more days. I think he said something like this. Y'all must not know what happened when I left the house. My master told me I had to leave where he was and go where you are and locate his son Isaac a wife. And it had to be the white wife. Right wife. I'm telling you, not white wife. Well, she would, whatever. She might have been white, but anyway, she was God's choice, whatever color she was. But anyway, so I got to find the right wife for my son, for my master's son, Isaac. And I want to tell y'all something. When I left the house, I was scared. I was nervous. I was confused. I didn't think I could pull this off. I begged God to help me. I asked God to let me ask the woman and let the woman say, I'll give water to you and the camels. Y'all may not understand this, but a little while ago, I walked up to your daughter, ma'am, your sister, sir, and I asked for water. And guess what she said? I have water for you and the camels. Y'all may not understand. That was the answer to prayer. That was God's ding, 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 that your sister and your daughter is the right woman. I'm convinced she is the wife for Isaac. She is the one that Abraham wants me to bring back. She is God's choice that's meant to go with me. I know you're going to miss her. I know you don't want her to go. I know you'd like 10 more days. I know you're going to miss her doing stuff around the house. But I'm trying to tell you, girl, you better hug your mama. You better dap up your brother and hop on this here camel, because God has been too good to me to not finish the deal. And let me tell you something. When God opens a door, and when God answers prayer, and when God brings you to Bible college, and when God sets you in a Christian school, and when God calls you to preach, and when God calls you to the mission field, and when you're convinced of the will of God, It's easy to be convinced of it and get distracted down the road. There's steadfastness in the way. Anybody can say yes in chapel, yes at church, yes at camp, yes at conference. But when you leave conference, everything you said yes to is going to be tempted. God give us some people who are in the way that when people say, you don't have to serve God now. You don't have to go to Bible college now. You don't really have to be pure now. You don't have to get serious with God now. You better look at them people and say, God blessed me too much. You better get here on this camel and come with me now. Because if God opened the door, I'm going to finish the deal. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Steadfastness in the way. Lastly, I'm finished. There's satisfaction in the way. Look at verse number 63. Isaac went out to meditate. This always cracks me up. Meditate. You'd be meditating too if somebody was picking your way. I don't know what he was doing, but if I'm Isaac right now, I'm out in the field like this. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm meditating. You say, what's he meditating on? Oh, he's meditating on psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Whatever. I'll tell you what he's meditating on. He's saying, God, if ever you led my daddy's servant, let it be today. God, if ever you gave him discernment, touch his mind, touch his eyes, touch his hands, give him wisdom behind, beyond understanding. God, Lord, if he ever picked the wrong one, don't let him pick the wrong one today. Lord, he's coming back. I don't know what's going to be on that camel, but Lord, whatever is on that camel with my daddy's servant, let that person on that camel be able to fried chicken, be able to make grits, be able to scramble eggs. Let her be able to make sweet tea that is sweetened when it's hot and not after it's cold. Let her know how to clean and iron and match my clothes, because you know men are colorblind. Oh God, let her be able to be kind. Let her be a good mother. Let her be sweet. Let her just do everything that I need. And God, above all those things, I want her to do all those things and do them well. But God, please God, let her be beautiful in the name of Jesus. That's what he's meditating about. I mean, he don't know. Can you imagine? He's going, I don't know what's coming around the mountain when she comes. I don't know. But God, help us. And here they come. Here they come. The Bible says, Isaac went out to meditate. He lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. And then the music started. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And here come the camel. Maybe more like da da dun da da dun da da dun. And here they come around the corner. Here comes the servant with that girl, Rebecca, on the camels. Now look at it. When Isaac lifted up his eyes, behold, the camels were coming. Isaac must have looked and saw her and said, ain't God good? I mean, he must have said, hubba, hubba. He might have borrowed from Gomer Pop. Shazam. Look at him. He probably said, I think this meditating thing kind of works. That's where yoga started, Genesis 24. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so Isaac looks at her and goes, woo-wee. Now look at Rebecca. Rebecca looks at Isaac. Verse number 64. Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, Isaac looked at her. He says, she's beautiful. Rebecca looks at Isaac and says, she's fine. You know. And you say, how excited was she? Look at Genesis 24:64. The Bible said she saw Isaac. She lighted off a candle. She was so excited to see him, she lit a cigarette. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, she said, good gracious alive. Look at that man right there. Isaac is satisfied. Rebecca's satisfied. Who else you think satisfied? Abraham. Isaac said, oh, she's beautiful. Rebecca said, he's fine. Abraham said, them going to be some good-looking grandkids. You know who's most satisfied? Servant. The servant. Y'all see her. Y'all see him. You see potential grandkids. But I left the house scared to death, clueless as to how in the world I was going to pull this off. Weighted down under pressure, desperate for help. Failure, not an option. And here I am. I spotted her. I asked her. I convinced her family. She got on the camel. She's back here. They're going to get married. The promises of God are going to be fulfilled. And it all happened for this reason. The Lord led me.
Yeah.
And He led me because I was in the way. You want fulfillment? Dunk a basketball. Drive a golf ball. Spike a volleyball. Get a 4.0. Get into the best school in America. Build your credit. Buy your own car. Land a great job. Build a huge house. Save a bunch of money. That's not fulfillment. I'll show you fulfillment. Live under the pressure of trying to execute this Bible and find out that that pressure is relieved by a God who will get in front of you and lead you. And when He leads you, because you're in the way, you'll experience a satisfaction that nothing in this world can rival. My question to you today is not what kind of clothes you got on, what name brand, what school you're going to go to in a few years, what boyfriend you have, what plans you have, what age you want to get married, how many kids you want to have, how big your wedding party is going to be, where you want to live one day. It's not my question. None of that really matters. My question to you this morning is, if you genuinely want the leadership of God, are you in the way? Our Father, I thank You.